September usually brings traffic to a standstill in New York City, where world leaders gather for the annual United Nations General Assembly. This year, the event is largely moving online, except for President Trump, who is expected to address in person those foreign dignitaries who are allowed in the building. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Swedish diplomat Olof Skoog usually looks forward to the buzz of the UN General Assembly high-level debate.
It's just an opportunity to discuss some of the real urgent issues, be that, you know, the war in Libya or the situation in Yemen or disarmament problems, whatnot. I mean, it's just an incredible jamboree for diplomacy, which has gone missing this year.
He now represents the European Union at the UN, and he's no fan of Zoom diplomacy.
You can't really grasp the body language. There's no small talk. All of that is really important, I think, in international relations.
Skoog is currently in quarantine so that he can actually attend the UN's high-level debate starting September 22nd. Some diplomats have to be there, even if the coronavirus pandemic is keeping foreign ministers and world leaders away.
We will socially distance, but still be in the room, one ambassador per country and organization. So yes, I'll be there.
Though President Trump has pulled out of some UN agencies and international agreements, he says he wants to show up in person to give his annual address. The Russian and Chinese leaders are to speak soon after him, though they're expected to be recorded. UN spokesman Stéphane Dujarric says that's for technical reasons. He jokes that setting up a small office Zoom call is hard enough.
I cannot imagine having a Zoom call with 193 permanent members and two permanent observers in different languages, in different time zones. I think it would make for a wonderful Saturday Night Live skit.
Some diplomats are looking on the bright side of this virtual UN General Assembly, or UNGA. Elizabeth Cousins runs the UN Foundation, which promotes the work of the United Nations.
One thing we're all learning is that the virtual world is more inclusive in a way. It does allow for a greater diversity of voices and perspectives to come into conversations. Some of that may be about countries who haven't always been able to come to the GA, who may find they show up in a virtual way.
That's true for activists, too. Lou Charbonneau of Human Rights Watch remembers last year when a Syrian activist couldn't get a U.S. visa to travel to UN headquarters in New York.
Someone like that, in this virtual world, it's not a problem. All they need is a computer and an internet connection, and we can bring them in.
Ambassador Olof Skoog worries, though, that world leaders may not see the UN as such an important platform if they're not in New York in person.
There is a risk that the UN fades a little bit in the level of priority and interest in some of the world capitals, and that would be a huge setback, I think, when the UN is more needed than ever.
This is the 75th anniversary of the World Body, and Elizabeth Cousins says the UN was hoping this would be a time to highlight its work.
I think we're all going to learn an enormous amount about what's possible in this historic and unusual General Assembly.
She advocates for a stronger U.S. role at the UN, a challenge with the Trump administration. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.